I don't know if for you, but for me, this last week, I've just really enjoyed the weather, especially in the mornings. You know, I mean, it's the temperature is just comfortable. The humidity's been low. Little bit of a breeze off the ocean. Even the time frame of, you know, where the sun comes up, basically, it's getting closer and closer to 7:30 in the morning, you know, is good. I'm usually up at about, right around 6 or a little bit before, and probably by 6:15 at the latest, I'm out walking the dog. The other day, I got up, and I was out, and I actually walked the dog. Normally, we go down the street I live on 23rd and walk down to Saks and then all the way down to 26 up and back on Atlantic, back to the house. But this day, I decided to go the opposite direction, and so I went up to Atlantic, and I started to walk on. And I walked through Keys Realty. Manny's Pizza was right next door. Jake loves to smell Manny's Pizza, even after dark. And we walked through the parking lot. As I came out of the parking lot to cut across to get to the sidewalk, all of a sudden, as I noticed, I looked over my shoulder, and there was a guy with another dog, and he was walking towards us. He was walking towards us. You know, I mean, I cut in front of him in a way. You know, I mean, that's against dog etiquette, you know? And Jake isn't exactly what you would say, you know, the best with other dogs all the time. Well, I immediately choked up on the leash and started moving as fast as I could get him to move and got in and went up into the parking lot of Sonapa, figuring, okay, well, I'll do it. He'll just pass me by and I'll do it. Well, lo and behold, as I went through the parking lot in Sonapa, got out to the next street, which I believe is 25th Street, you know, I turned right and there was the guy with the dog. He had gone behind Sonapa. But it was at that point that I realized the guy that was there with the dog, it was Chad, my friend, and his dog Phoebe. And we, you know, exchanged pleasantries. And then all of a sudden, Chad looked at me and he said, I'll get ahead of you. I'll jog with Phoebe a little bit. And he went down the alleyway behind Ocean Properties and turned right onto 26. It was the direction I was going. But at this point, he was a little bit ahead of me. When I got to the corner of the alleyway and 26, I looked down. I saw him just a little bit down the street. And I started to think, you know, when somebody cuts me off when I'm walking the dog, it irritates me. It's like, aren't you looking? Aren't you aware of my presence? Then I started to think a little bit more as I saw him go down, because he lives close to the other end of the street. And his wife, Erica, is the one who got the Yeti coolers. And when those came in, she was there, and she was looking at me, and she said, you know, you aren't going to believe it. The other night, I had my bicycle, my new bicycle, chained up in front of my house, and somebody came with bolt cutters and stole it. You know, and I started remembering the conversation, because Chad, who was there, you know, I mean, Eric and I were talking. Chad was saying, things happen in life. Me, I would have felt they violated me. I would have probably tried to go door to door, sort of checking out the neighbors, okay? You had any strange friends come by? You throw a party lately? I realized that the difference, call it maturity in a younger man compared to me, an older man, it was that he didn't grasp onto the events of life and miss life. And I realized so often in my time, in my life, I grasp onto events of life, hold them tight, and I really miss life. I really miss life. I say that introduction because as I read the gospel for today, it's a story of the apostles coming to Jesus, and they say to Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Jesus' response is one that you've probably all heard before. If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, which in those days was the smallest seed that was known, if you had the faith the size of a mustard, you could say to that mulberry tree, be uprooted, cast yourself into the sea, and it would obey you. And then Jesus goes into a teaching, which we just read, where he basically describes, and it's really kind of interesting, because he says to the apostles, He said, which one of you? So he puts them in the position of being the master and having slaves, not being the slave and having a master. So he puts them in the position of a master. And he says, which one of you who has a slave, if they've been out tending your flocks, plowing your fields, and it's time for dinner, and they come in, looks at him and says, you know, will you sit down? I'll wait on you. No, what you say is, you know, you serve me. Get your apron on. Take care of me. And then after you've taken care of me, then I'll serve you. And then he says, you know, at the end of the day, basically, don't look at yourselves as though I did this thing. Look at yourselves as I did what I was supposed to. I'm just an unworthy slave. It changed the perspective of where they were looking at. That's, after all, what Jesus tries to do so often, doesn't he? Change your perspective from the way you're looking at life to another way of life. You know, I started looking back at that request of the apostles. He says, they come to Jesus, increase our faith. You know, I started to notice, and if you look at your insert, that starts on verse 5. What were the other four verses at the beginning of the chapter? Why are they asking that? And if you look at it, just prior to that scripture, what happens is Jesus says this. He says, things that make people sin happen in life. But woe to the person that causes something to happen. But if somebody does sin against you, if somebody sins against you and they ask for repentance, forgive them. Even if they do it over and over and over again, they come back saying, please forgive me, please forgive me. 70 times 7, which is basically forever. Forgive them. I think what the disciples, especially the apostles, were looking at Jesus, increase our faith, because, you know, the lesson you just gave me is really hard. Forgiving. Forgiving. The first thing this scripture taught me for this week, to be real upfront with you, is this. You can measure how deep your faith is by how well you do forgiveness. If you have a hard time forgiving, if you have a hard time asking for forgiveness, if you have a hard time forgiving yourself, then to tell you the truth, your faith probably needs a lot of work. Because forgiveness is a main part of faith. And it's not just between you and God. It's especially between you and the people that cross your path, the people you live with. How deep your faith is dependent upon, truly, and can be measured, the barometer is how well you forgive. How well do you forgive? It's funny, because as I saw that, I thought to myself, you know, it's here is the apostles asking for, and Jesus' response, he says, he goes, you know, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, in other words, it's the quality, not the quantity of your faith. It's the quality of your faith that makes things work. But then he goes into that section that really throws me off about the slave. I don't know about you. It was funny, because as I started to look at that, I started to think to myself, wait a second, why is he tying this part about the slave and the master, why is he tying that together with faith? And then I remembered something that an older woman, very wise woman, that was in this parish for years, she died back in 14, her name was Ann Norwood, said to me one time, and I'll never forget this. She said to me, and I don't know what the context was, but I'll never forget, she looked at me and she said, you know, it's so interesting to me, so often, when a husband takes out the garbage to the street, sometimes they come back in and look at their wife and feel like they're saying to the wife, see, I cleaned the whole house. You know, a lot of the times we do things thinking we need affirmation for it. And affirmation is not wrong. But don't forget, the way this scripture is written, Jesus is putting it in the context that they are the master, not the slave. And so what he's saying is this. You as a slave should not look for affirmation. You do it. Why? Because it's the next right thing to do. It's not duty. It's not performance. It's just the way you live in your own character. If you really are one of my followers, then to tell you the truth, you forgive just for the sake of forgiving. If you're one of my followers, you serve just for the sake of serving. Don't try and look for the affirmation like, well, you owe me. Because you know what? The truth of the matter is, life's not fair. You know, I think that so often in our times where at least I get myself in trouble is I think somehow life's going to be fair. And when I feel violated, like if somebody stole my bike, or to tell you the truth, if I'd cut Chad off instead of him cutting me off, I mean, I'd go after it. I mean, I'd be like, I'd grasp onto that. And to be upfront with you, sometimes breaking that grasp is really difficult. I'm going to pick on somebody. I didn't do this at 8:30. Those of you who play golf, what's it like when you got an idiot in front of you? You hold on to it pretty tight? Do you look for them at the next hole to do something stupider? Do you almost like, I want self-fulfilling prophecy to take place here. You know, I want them to really get it. How often do we do that, though? How often do we almost project out the badness that can come rather than looking for the good that's there? Why do we look at things like that? Jesus changes our perspective. And he changes our perspective because he says, let go of it. Because when you hold on to it, you miss life. Think how many events of life you have ever missed because you've been irritated. And by God, you have children around you that want to just be with you and celebrate with you. But by God, I'm missing that because I'm so angry. By God, I can't forgive. By God, life's not fair. It's not fair. Done. It is not fair. Life is not fair, but God is good. And if we look to a relationship with God, then we will see the goodness in the life that is unfair. If we look to the goodness of God and following and walking in his steps, then the faith that has comes in us will increase. It'll become where all of a sudden we can forgive even ourselves. And the grasp is broken. The grasp is broken. You know, as you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come hearing a couple of things. Number one, life's not fair. If you expected it to be, well then, well, I don't know what you're smoking, but please talk to me after the service. Number two, you got to let go of the grasp. And sometimes the grasp is not something that somebody did to you or you did to something else. Sometimes the grasp is just simply the way you've always looked at things, and you have to let that go because, to tell you the truth, it hasn't worked for you for your whole life now. What makes you think it's going to start now? Let go of it. And then get that faith that is quality, not quantity, and let it become alive in you. There's an old saying that goes, it's not the size of the man in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the man. That's the way faith works. What's the size of the faith in your life? Are you going to miss life because life's not fair? Or are you going to gain life because you finally had the opportunity to forgive? To let it go. To let it go and see the goodness of God in life, not the unfairness that's so often there. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.